It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 491 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week it's the return of Mark Darden from Guano Guy, a truly funny and enjoyable comic that has a Kickstarter going on right now. The Kickstarter is for Guano Guy number 4 plus all 7 other Guano Guy comics. He describes it as a superhero comic in the vein of The Tick and Gru plus shows like Venture Brothers and Rick and Morty. We talk about the cover as well as the various numberings of Guano Guy that have happened in the past. We discuss the characters as well as what might be coming in the future for Guano Guy and Mark as well. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome back to the podcast Mark Darden, the creator of a wonderful series called Guano Guy. And if that reminds you of a certain superhero, that probably is true. So how's it going, Mark?
It's going pretty good, Wayne. Thanks for having me back on.
It's good to talk with you. It's been a couple of years. I got a kick because the last time I interviewed you, I went to the store where you and I used to frequent the same store. Uh-huh. And I said, well, I haven't seen Mark around. Oh, he moved to the other coast. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, I did such a bad job of interviewing him that he moved to the other coast. He wanted to get that far away.
Yeah, just had to pursue a career opportunity. And required me to move a long ways away. Eventually I should be able to make it back to Florida, but I had to get experience elsewhere first.
Yeah. You got to go where the work takes you. You got to do. So Guano Guy, you got issue number 4 plus all 7 other Guano Guy comics.
Right.
And as we were talking right now, and you had a goal of $1,500, and as we're talking, you have got $1,577.
Yeah.
So that's a good number. That means you've got it at the moment, but you said there's been some back and forth thing going on.
Yeah. There's a really good group of comic friends and creators who have put posts out telling people about it, and I'll gain a few, and then somebody that joined a ways back drops out, and people have different reasons for it. I'm really just hoping to get another 400 and get to the bonus print. There's several really cool bonus prints and I'd like to get those included, but see. Okay.
Very good. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Let me take a look. I want to make sure we've got the people get on me because I don't say this information soon enough for them. This project will be funded if it reaches its goal by Saturday, June 26th at 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So we got right now you've got it, and that's a good thing. And I know there have been some people I know. They one guy had a great big contributor drop out, and it put him back down again. And he was like, oh, no, what am I going to do? And everybody, of course, when they found it out, they rushed in to help him.
That's
a good thing. So I'm hoping now.
Really good.
I love the description of this. It says, Guano Guy is a snarky comedy superhero comic in the vein of The Tick and Gru, plus shows like Venture Brothers and Rick and Morty, which it is. I think that's a pretty accurate description.
Yeah.
Of course, I love the name Guano Guy, Chris. The last time you and I talked, we mentioned about the fact that Guano Guy is kind of loosely based on Adam West's superheroic portrayals, shall we say.
I do very much have a lot of influences and a huge fan of Batman, and I definitely love the silly goofiness of the old Batman show. So it's the comics coming from really my love of comic books and my love of comedy. Those are my two favorite things, so I put those together.
Yeah, I looked at Facebook and I was surprised to see that you're a stand-up comic as well.
I was. for several years in Minneapolis. I haven't got to do it for a while because I had to move to a small town area. And recently I've moved to Phoenix, so I'll be getting back into it as things open back up and I'll get going again. So, that really kind of plays into it too, that I've done stand up. And so I've done comedy live and different ideas for comedy go into this.
Yeah. There is a lot of funny stuff going on in here. It makes me laugh because being familiar with comics as I am, I get a kick out of the jabs that you make at the comic book industry and some of the comic books that are out there. I just get such a huge kick out of it. You had sent to me issue 3, and because I hadn't had a chance to read that one yet, so I got a chance to read it, and there are some wonderful bits in there. One of the ones that I always enjoy, one of the characters that makes me laugh is not Guano Guy. I get a kick out of him, but the other guy, Mr. Marvelous Man, always makes me laugh.
Yeah. He's such a nice simpleton guy and has a very basic way of looking at stuff. And he means well, but he doesn't really understand things. First issue, he talks a robot out of destroying the city by just talking to about basically being polite. And then in another issue, he tried that again with a different robot that was stealing from people. And it was like, and it wouldn't fall for that at all. And then it distracted him with cartoons, stopped him from saving the day.
Mm-hmm. Now, issue 3 did have something that made me laugh. Guano Guy decides that he's going to fight fire with fire.
Yeah.
And he comes up against the puppeteer.
Uh-huh.
So what does he do? He decides to battle the puppeteer, who has like a curtain around him so he can do the puppeteering from behind him, which any of us who have done puppets in our past, and some of us have, remember those things. We did a puppet show when I was back in college, and one of the puppets had this glasses that had the eyes in them. And in the middle of the thing, the person running the puppet shook it too much and the eyes fell off.
Oh.
And in the middle, my brother, of course, he sees the eyes hit the floor. He grabs the glasses and he just, in the middle of the puppet talking, this hairy hand comes up and smack right in his eye and puts the eyes on crooked. You know, it was hilarious. You know, it was unexpected, but everybody got a huge kick out of that. And so I got a huge kick out of this to watch the two of them battle puppet to puppet, which was quite fun, really good.
And it's a little dark too, because Guano Guy was not responsible with his sidekicks and took a lot of risk with their well-being. And then the puppets are all homages to his ex-sidekicks who were in the puppet sidekicks taunt him during the battle too.
That's interesting, because that's Guano Guy talking, right?
Right, right. So it's all in his own head.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that means he has some conscious.
Yeah. Like one of them yells out, "You left me on the side of the road." And then another one yells out, "You left me in a shark tank. And you left me in a sugar-induced coma." So all these wonderful things. There's something about sidekicks that never, ever works. I mean, even now, what's going on in DC Comics, Batman's legitimate son, he dressed up like Robin. And then in the middle of the New Teen Titans or whatever it was, he pulls off the Robin symbol and he goes somewhere. And so he says he's not Robin anymore. So he comes out with his own book. And what's it called? Robin. And I'm like, wait a minute. He said he wasn't Robin anymore.
I guess somebody changed their mind in between.
Yeah. Because
he wasn't Damian.
Because they tried, what was the other one? Tim Drake.
Red Robin.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Tim Drake decided he wanted to be called Drake.
Oh.
That wasn't a smart move. You didn't put your last name as your superhero name. Not the smartest move. So there's something about sidekicks and it never quite works out. So I got a huge kick.
It's something that's a lot of fun for kids. And, you know, that's what it was intended for, was that it's fun for kids to see themselves in the adventure.
not just the adults, but then, you know, when you are an adult, then it starts to really just seem weird. Say maybe Sidekick should just be held for, you know, kids comics.
There's a wonderful sequence I've got to talk about. Just made me laugh out loud.
Oh, absolutely.
What's the name of the woman who's the reporter?
Rita Ratika.
Ratika. Okay, that's how you pronounce it. The way it was spelled, I wasn't quite sure. We need pronunciation guides in these books sometimes.
Yeah.
Rita is talking to a cameraman, and out from behind her comes all of a sudden this little boy comes and says, "Ma'am," and she turns around and with obvious disdain she goes, "Yes, little boy." And the guy has a Guano Guy mask on. Mm-hmm. And he says, "I'm Guano Guy's biggest fan, and I wait with bated breath to see what he'll do next. I buy every product, watch every show, and attend every appearance he makes." And her response is in that same thing. "That's a little sad," she goes. Oh, heavens. Oh, heavens. That made me laugh. You know, it's you know, the funniest thing is that if you understand comic book readers and comic fans and stuff like that, that's hilarious because there are fans who do those sorts of things. I mean, you know. There was one guy that told me one time, he said that he thought Superman was too powerful, but he thought that Wolverine should have the speed of the Flash so that he would cut you to pieces and you wouldn't even know you were dead. He did it so fast. And I remember saying to him, "And you think Superman's too powerful?"
Yeah.
I always get a kick out of comic because our sensibilities are not quite logical, I think, sometimes. And your books tend to reflect that, which I think is really wonderful. Because if anything else, is that we should be able to poke fun at ourselves. And I think it's really well done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we love this stuff, but it's also good not to take it too serious. Like, just have fun with it and enjoy it, but not get actually mad over it.
Yeah. Well, the Marvel versus DC business, all this stuff goes on. And I'm always going like, you know, as one of my friends once said, the fighting is so fierce because the pot is so small that we're fighting over.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's why everything is so fierce and we're struggling so much. And, you know, if it was something worth more or had a lot of more value to it, then I could understand all that. Which leads me to Guano Guy. Talk about Guano Guy, because he's he's an interesting character. His motivation is something that I find interesting because, you know, superheroes, at least the ones that I enjoy, I'm more of a DC guy than a Marvel mm-hmm. guy. So I like the altruistic superheroes, Batman, Superman, all these people who do things because it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do.
And of course, Guano Guy, no, that's not what he does.
Yeah, okay. No.
Talk a little bit about that, because that makes him something different as far as, you know, in my own reading experience, which I enjoy. What's his motivation, so people know?
Yeah, so he is seeking fame and fortune. So he's much more of he is much more like a celebrity than, you know, he is very much like the people who are celebrities just to be celebrities, not because of the actual thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And he falls into that. He saving people isn't really that important to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. he's out there saving people just because that's the thing he has to do to be famous, rather than he's saving people because it's a good thing to do and because he can.
Mm-hmm. he's talking to the mirror on the wall at one point, which made me laugh. He's asking, you know, "Am I the most popular guy of all?" And of course the mirror says, "No, you're not." You know, being honest with him, you know, not telling him what he needs to hear, what he wants to hear. And I get a huge kick out of the responses and the stuff, because, you know, Guano Guy is just not – he's not what I usually like in a superhero.
Yeah, because he's not very heroic.
No.
even when he does the right thing, he's not doing it for the right reasons. He's doing it to be noticed, not because of actually helping the person who's in trouble. He is just all about the media, and he's trying to get endorsement deals and advertising and fame and fortune. And he gets pushed along into trying to be a hero in order to achieve that. And his mirror is practically his you know only friend, really.
And that's the only one that really tells him the truth.
Right, the mirror, despite being his reflection, does not sugarcoat things. As you said, it's very very straightforward with him regularly.
Which, of course, he doesn't want. He'd rather hear something else. One of the great bits of humor that you do often is poke fun at Guano Guy himself. There's a wonderful bit in the issue 3 where they're discussing the term "what for," giving a crook what for. And in the background, there are two cages that have lions in them. And one lion turns to the other and says, "These steaks talk too much." I busted out laughing when I read that. I just thought that was hilarious because they look at them as like they're just meals, you know, to them, and they talk too much. I just find that such a wonderful bit. I just think that it's such a great, you know, the humor is great. I always love deprecating humor, particularly. And I got a huge kick out of that particular sequence, got me. And I also enjoy the editor who talks to Rita, and the cameraman is very unhappy because they never praise his camera work, but the editor loves the fact that she chases after villains. Even he doesn't really want to talk about Guano Guy with
him. Yeah.
Nobody wants to. It's just hilarious how we go from place to place and nobody wants to give Guano Guy his due, which is funny bit, especially in a superhero, because I'm so used to superheroes being the center of attention. You know, Superman goes around, he's got Jimmy Olsen wanting to be his friend, he's got Lois Lane trying to marry him, he's got all this other stuff going on, and everybody wants to be his friend or do something else with him. It's hilarious that Guano Guy has nobody that's chasing after him, wants to be his buddy. So that, to me, I love the something different, going someplace where I haven't read before. And I think that's one of the great things about Guano Guy is to poke fun at what we see in other comics. I just think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I like getting all those little lines and little bits in there where it's not really the main thing. Like, here's the story, but there's just little touches going on in the background, small gags. I write some of them in where it's, you know, the artist is presenting it to you with little sight gags. And then I try to get those little off the wall bits in there as well. Stuff that is not really the story, but it's commentary. It's just fun and silly. I really like the idea of this comic being just a total break from the day. It's just not serious at all. You could just take a few minutes and read it for just fun, silly enjoyment.
It's so much fun when there's Guano Guy and he's fighting a mime, and the mime has, he wants to make it look like he's got a gang. And so he's got these dolls things that look like, yeah, mannequins, and they're all on this bar across his shoulders so that they move when he moves, and they all look like they're fighting together and stuff. God, that was hilarious. And he says, "We got you surrounded." And Guano Guy says, "Why are you saying we?"
Right. Yeah, you can't count the mannequins as opponents. Like, it's just you that I'm fighting. Like, I'm fighting you. That's the zaniness of the villains. Like, to this nutty villain, those are real gang members. He's got his entourage with him, and Guano Guy himself is pointing it out. Like, no, it's just you and me.
It reminds me so much of the old Batman show. Whenever we were in the villain's hideout, it was tilted. You know, it was because they were not, like, they were off-center kind of people. And so the rooms would be tilted sideways. And I'd always be like, I wonder how the people filmed that. You know, the camera, was the camera tilted or was the room actually tilted when they did that?
Yeah, that would depend. I mean, if the actors also were tilted, if everything was tilted, it was probably the camera. But mm-hmm. if like the people sat up straight, but all the furniture was tilted, then maybe they just mm-hmm. stuck little blocks under, you know, one side mm-hmm. to put everything off and maybe just, you know, leaned all the paintings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, and of course, the Guanaguay stories are tremendously funny. And you know, when eventually the mime gets knocked out, she yells out, "Psychosomatic knockout," he goes. And then he yells, "It's a real thing. The Crimson Twins suffered from it all the time." All those things are hilarious, wonderful bits. But, you know, you do other parts that make me laugh as well. In issue number 3, we see Mr. Marvelous Man in I'm Helping, and he's trying to get an old woman across the street.
Yeah, sure. And he just helps too much. He takes her way too far and ends up making her journey much longer while also scaring her near to death with flying her up so high and so fast. Mm-hmm. But he means well.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Just because you got powers doesn't mean you necessarily know what to do. But then there's another bit, and I have to talk with you about this one. It starts out and it says, "El Marv here with the super insults."
Yeah.
El Marv. Which makes me think of the House of Ideas.
Uh-huh.
And the guy, well, let's just say that the person it looks like is no longer with us.
Yeah.
Shall we say.
Yeah.
And I get a huge kick because as he's going along, he says these terrible things to people. He says, "Your costume looks stupid," he says to the one guy. And then he says, "No one will love you," he goes. And then he goes to the super insults writer's room. He says, "Why fight a villain with fisticuffs when super insults can supply you with verbal jabs that'll have them sobbing on the ground in the fetal position like the little wussy woo-woo their wicked sister always told them they were?"
Yeah, and I mean, it works. I mean, that big, strong villain is really hurt by these things. Like, that's why he's turned to this horrible life of crime. Like, nobody has loved him, and he is all alone.
Mm-hmm. But there, the fact that he looks like... See, that gets me, because, you know, that it's just a funny bit. I just think that it's hilarious. Again, when we can laugh at ourselves, I think that's a wonderful bit. And there are some people who think this individual is nigh unto God. You know, everything he did is just gorgeous and wonderful and smart and fantastic. And here is that same basic person, you know, being super critical of people and cutting them down left and right. And they all love it, and they don't ever argue with them and say, "No, that's not true." They take it as fact. That's the part that really gets me. I just think that this whole little bit is a wonderful bit for that. Are we going to see this guy again, or was that basically his time?
Oh, he's got a bit in issue 4 here too.
Okay.
Yeah, he goes to another homage-ish spot to hawk a different product, again, with some very negative motivations behind it in a way. Instead of insults, he's selling a very destructive product that ultimately destroys way more than intended.
So issue 4, I've been doing some build up talking about what Guanaguay, what you can find in a Guanaguay comic.
Yeah.
Talk about issue 4. What are we going to see in issue 4?
Issue 4 is going to be super, super awesome because we've got Alexander Unland back, who's been the artist for the last, he was there for 2.5, number 2, number 3. So this is 4th issue now. And he does 20 pages, but with 3 different colorists. So each of the 3 stories that he basically tells, and they kind of go together, but they're separate segments. Each one of them has a different colorist because of the fact that they're taking place in sort of different worlds. So that helps really set them apart. And we finally, We see Guano Guy in the biggest action scene yet. Mm-hmm. And the closest thing to being a hero that I think we'll ever see. We see Rita step forth from reporting on things to getting more involved. And we also get to see Thor return, because Rita's had Thor's hammer for a while now. And we finally have a return of Thor and some payoff on that story. Mm-hmm. And then and that's the big one. But then additionally, there's another 20 pages of short stories where we get to see what happened to Guano Guy's original sidekick, who was abandoned in a sewer to sewer monsters. And we get to see there was a character before Blaster Face who passed on, and we get to see where he went. We also get to see this salesman character again, who before was selling threats to heroes, but now he's selling a destructive item this time, more physically destructive than verbally. And we get to see a short with Mr. Marvelous Man again, so we get him. And then there's a couple of little one-pagers that are just really fun, silly stuff, a couple of fake ads, essentially, that are a lot of fun. One of the ads I'm really proud of, I mean, in one page, we do a whole lot with this really fun gag. So it's a lot of stuff for 40 pages. It's very packed. David Lapham did the cover, so that is extra cool, because I'll have that original on my wall for the rest of my life. That's 2020 was pretty good. There were ways to make 2020 good, and that was one. Mm-hmm.
Now you've got two different cover styles for the same cover.
Yeah, I did. There's just the pure art version. Like, if somebody just really wants the art and wants to hang that up or whatnot, it's the cover with just the art, and there'll be just a little bit of information in a corner, you know, real nonchalant. And then there's a very retro 70s style cover with, you know, that side dress. And there's a whole lot of the characters have a ton of quotes on the front. I mean, the cover becomes its own story if you get the dressed up version, because there's a whole scene going on that really pretty much leads into one of the stories. And then on the side, you've got the sidebar with the different character heads, and they've all got lines. And so you get a lot of reading experience out of the cover if you get the dressed up version. But at the same time, some people are just going to want to look at the art. And so either way is available.
I have to, as I was looking at it's on the Kickstarter page. So if you want to see it, you can actually do it. There's a wonderful quote for Guano Guy. And I get a kick that he's called the Guano Guy.
Yeah.
Which, of course, you know, Batman goes from being called Batman to the Batman, back and forth and stuff. I'm always going like, why? And the next Batman movie is called the Batman. And I'm always going, why is he called the Batman? Why? It's just Batman. So I get a kick. He's called the Guano Guy, which is obviously a play on that stuff. And his quote just kills me. It says, my name is literally on the cover.
Yeah, because Mr. Marvelous Man's trying to take credit.
Yeah, he says, hey, I got my own book, he goes. And then right under him is Guano Guy says, hey, my name is literally on the cover, he goes.
No, my name's literally on the cover. The prankster, I made the issue? No. Oh. Yeah, all those villains that are about to break in, they've all got funny lines, and Guano Guy's talking to his mirror about a ridiculous convention that he's going to go to.
Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful line too under the price of the book. It says not approved for mature adults.
Yeah,
which is quite funny. I have to say, it's really good stuff. It's just wonderful, wonderful business. Now I've got to talk with you because something makes me laugh. You know, I've signed up for the Kickstarter,
Thank you.
So I'm very happy to do that. The thing that makes me laugh is, we got to talk a little bit about the numbering of the issues. Because I signed up for the super accessible complete PDF set.
Yeah.
And it's for globetrotting digital connoisseurs of hilarious digital comics. 250 pages almost beamed into your digital device. But it lists it down there. It says it's Guano Guy number 0, 1/2, 1. 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3, and then 4 are all individual PDFs?
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm all for that, and it's, you know, this is 8 books. But then when I go down farther, I'm a little surprised, because when I get down to, let's see, I'm trying to find the one where to go. Well, anyway, there's one that says if you go farther down, and it says that you get 3.5 and 4. I think it's in the All Gone one. Yeah. If it's pledge $5 or more, you get both new comics, digital version.
I get a PDF. I can pull this one for you real quick.
Oh, good. Well, let me just read what it says real quick. Okay. So people know what I'm talking about. Get a PDF of Guano Guy 3.5 and 4. Now, when I went back to look at the thing I'd signed up for, and I don't have 3.5 in there.
It's going to be okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was toying with the idea of doing 3.5 and 4, but it really works out best for everybody for me to just do one bigger issue. And this is going to actually be the last Kickstarter where I have still 0 1/2 and 1.5 and 2.5. After this one, I'm going to collect all those up and do a single trade so that it'll be a lot simpler in the future, that like next time it'll be going away issue 5, all 4 back issues plus the trade paperback of short stories. Cause with this issue and issue 2 and issue 3, there's always short stories. But it really just works out to do it as a large anthology with the main story and the short stories. And it allows flexibility, because the last issue had 29 interior pages, because that was the best group of short stories that were done at the time. This time there was the time to do more short stories, so it's a bigger book. Mm-hmm. So it just has worked out well to just do a single issue and bring all the short stories into whatever the next issue is.
Because you realize the moment I sat there figuring this stuff out, I realized that only a comic collector would think that way.
Yeah.
a comic collector would sit there and say, wait a minute, where's 3.5?
Yeah.
So, I'm not getting 3.5.
So that's why that got ended real quick. That was actually, I had already made the decision to just do issue 4 with everything in it. And then when the Kickstarter went live, that one PDF thing still listed 3.5 and 4, and a couple people pledged to it before I was able to jump back in and correct it. So it's been corrected. So when you get issue 4, it'll have everything in there that would have been issue 3.5 and 4. It's all just one issue.
You do realize that those are the things that drive collectors mad. Half issue, 0. I mean, issue 0, how can you say it's issue 0?
Yeah, yeah. This is a comic that doesn't make sense, so there's no need for this to make sense at all. I mean, if I did an issue 4.A,
and collectors are out there going, oh no, how am I going to change my numbering system to hold all that? So I you can't have an issue 0. That's the first issue, so it needs to be issue number 1.
Yeah, how do you have an issue minus 1? I mean, that or there was a comic that had issue 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, and then 1.5. Mm-hmm. And it was a miniseries. So it was that rather than just issues 1 through 5 of this miniseries, but that's just how they did it.
This is the thing that literally I have collector friends, and they say to me, how can they do this to me? I have this and that and the other in such a order. And it's like when Thor, like for example, the Thor, they got to issue like 600, but they had stopped numbering them. They had like issue, mm-hmm. they went back to issue 1.
Yeah.
And then when they got to a certain number, they changed it to issue 600.
Yep.
And all my friends who were collectors went, oh my God, what am I going to do? I had these all divided up into things. Now I have to all put them in one mm-hmm. in one string to each other, because then, yeah. And I thought, and I said to them, only comic collectors worry about such things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird where comics wanted to give new fans a brand new entry point where they could feel like they were there from the beginning and that they didn't need the back history. But when I got into comics, I mean, that's part of the fun of it is you get in where you get in, and then you try to hunt down and find the older stuff, you can.
Right.
And that was just part of the hobby. Right. And then they started with new issue 1s to try to match new comics that were coming out, but then wanted to get the props for the legacy of how mm-hmm. long they really had gone. So then they wanted to go back to the old numbering system to count all those issues under the newer numbering system as part of the ongoing number. It's very confusing.
Now they're doing something that that nobody would ever do uh-huh. in the past. And that's to say the number of years the comic has been coming out. I think Superman got – they have 80 years now of uh-huh. of Superman, 80 years of Batman. I mean, 10 years ago, you did not dare say the number of years because that would send people scampering for the hills. You know, the old "what have you done for me lately" mm-hmm. thing. Is what was going. And so all these people were saying, I'm not going to buy an 80th anniversary because that's – and then all of a sudden, now 80th anniversaries are hot. Everybody's doing – even Marvel, I think, did Fantastic Four had an 80th anniversary. Uh-huh. And so I'm getting a huge kick out of all this, you know, the way we sell books. I mean, Detective – they started renumbering Detective back to the 1000s and stuff. So they got to 1000, they did a special issue.
Yeah.
And then when I got to the 1000th issue, that Batman, 1027 suddenly was a big collector.
Yeah, for whatever.
And I thought, and I'm looking at it going like, well, yeah, I'll buy the book. But I have to say, only collectors worry about these things. The rest of us go, oh, 1027. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I said, you'll have to do the same thing when Guano Guy gets to 1027. You'll have to.
Oh, yeah. I'll probably have to do it at like issue number 10. Like, oh, it's our 10th issue anniversary, counting if you count those other issues.
Oh, heavens. You see, people, those of us who understand and get into the comic industry are going to just die laughing because it's just too much. It's just hilarious. It's just so well done. I like things like that. You know, I have to say, at some levels, your book reminds me a little bit of the guy that DC did. What was his name? He had a comic, and the very first thing on the front page, Ambush Bug. Ambush Bug on the very first page said, the alien invasion is coming. Make sure you get your loved ones to safety. And it said, not your family, your comic books.
Yeah.
And I remember busting out laughing at that. And every once in a while, they try to bring Ambush Bug back, and it never quite flies. But I think that stuff is funny. I get a kick out of that because I understand the humor. I think that's just – see, the stuff you're doing, I think, is just so appropriate and so worthy, you know, you know, poking at stuff. It's I can't remember the name of the guy that does music. Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
And he does mm-hmm. – he punctures the pomposity of popular music, one guy said. And you're doing sort of the Weird Al Yankovic version of the comics, having fun, you know, looking at comics with that fun askew look just because it's there and we get the joke. So it's funny stuff.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the kind words. I really like to make this fun, entertaining book that's a bit against the grain, having fun with comics rather than being really serious, but having fun with them, not really truly making fun of it. And I hope once conventions and shows open back up and I'm able to get back out and start really meeting people again and spreading the word of the book and mm-hmm. hopefully get it out there to a lot more people.
Because I saw you at a lot of conventions when you were living in Florida. You had been to like Daytona Beach, had one. I think you were at MegaCon too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
You've been a lot of the ones in Florida, but it's just now starting to open up because I know that I'm heading to AwesomeCon in Washington, D.C. in a couple months.
Yeah. It's starting to open back up. I'm not sure. I think Phoenix has probably still got another 6 months before things start going here. So it's a little bit slower than Florida. I think Florida's pushed to get things going again.
MegaCon, I think, is still going to happen here this year. They're going to do a live action. They're talking about limiting the number of tickets.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. You know, if we believe the this is what drives me crazy too. Stuff like this drives me nuts. If we believe that the vaccine works, why are we saying we still have to wear masks and stuff like that? So I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I believe, I think that it works, but that doesn't mean it's foolproof. It is, it would be like wearing armor, like that's going to really, really save you from a lot of hits, but that doesn't mean there isn't a spot where a blade can slip through or the right angle or enough force. It is protection, but you'd still want to be cautious. So I think the masks are still an added protection in case someone is close to you and coughs and happens to have a variant that the vaccine that you have doesn't protect against. If it's 90% effective, then there's just variations that it isn't covering. But you'd still be covered against most of them. So it's still smart to wear a mask and wash hands regularly so as to not touch your eyes or your mouth with something on your fingers. Safe. Mm-hmm. And if there's some community numbers, people can still keep a safe distance in case someone does start coughing or sneezing. You know, you don't have to be right there stuck to them.
Yeah. Because there are some communities too where only 25% of the people are vaccinated.
Oh yeah, sure. Because I mean, it's not required, and there's still people have questions about it. I mean, it is still a new vaccine. It's not fully tested out yet.
Yeah, see, here in Florida, we're going now to Walmarts, and there's a sign on the door that says, if you are fully vaccinated, you don't need a mask.
Yeah, they're not requiring it. But, I mean, if you were standing next to somebody who's coughing or sneezing and they cough into your face, you would still be better off if they had a mask on and you had one on.
Granted,
you might be fine, but you'd certainly be decreasing the odds of getting something from them, and not just the current thing. Like you might be vaccinated against COVID, but then you pick up a cold or flu from them or something else.
I was just going to say that very thing. Is that the last year or so, I haven't gotten any cold, any head colds or anything because we've all been masking and protecting ourselves from each other from these. From the flu and diseases and all of the kinds of things. So it's actually been kind of helpful.
Yeah. I mean, it really disease is a community thing. People get it and they pass it to everybody around them through contact. And if you're wearing some kind of protection from that, then you're really limiting your exposure to it. I definitely heard flus were way down this past year, which makes a lot of sense. And I mean, it hasn't been all bad. People have certainly, I guess, gotten an education on hygiene.
That's true.
You know, it's good to wash your hands regularly. It's a good safe practice.
Yep, so true. Now, you made available to me something I wanted to talk with you a little bit about. It's Image Grand Disaster.
Yeah, that is during this last, during 2020, Ed Piskor had pitched Image Grand Design that would go back to the beginning of Image and it come out as if it had all been planned from the beginning, much like those other Grand Design books that came out. And then he pitched it out to the fans to like, hey, why don't you guys get on this and do it? And some fans did. They picked up that ball and ran with it and transcribed and then did a sort of a meeting with them, and then they met amongst each other time and time again through the weeks and months and put this giant book together. But then a side book got started out of that where there were people that had more ideas that didn't fit into that outline, that one streamlined story. And so that all got put into Image Grand Disaster, and Image Grand Disaster expanded and grew. And a lot of people contributed stories. I caught on to Image Grand Disaster in its 11th hour and in its 11th hour of submission, of getting to submit. I caught into it right at the end and was able to submit a story. And that got picked up. And then
through the process, as time was going on, I started working on other people on their stories, doing editing and lettering and co-writing and just helping wherever I could and where it was needed. And then ended up joining the editing and production team to help put the whole book together. And so it was a really educational and rewarding experience to work in all these different roles. I really, and so that was my part in it. And so Image Grand Disaster is just this giant fan book of Image stories with the with a lot of the original characters, but also the second generation characters. In fact, Image Grand Disaster ended up touching almost every character that ever passed through Image, even for a moment, like characters that had a cameo or whose book was published there for just a little bit. Like we got all those in there, and it's a giant romp. And there's 60 creators that worked on it. And the variety of art and story and the skill levels. I mean, we've got pros in there all the way down to people that it was their first time, but they were great artists who just hadn't made a comic before, but had chops. So it's an amazing book, and Image Grand Design and Image Grand Disaster are both available. I can send you the link later because we're going to be wrapping up. When we released the books, we did them as they're PDFs that you can download, and there's just a donation to the Hero Initiative. So we wanted to do something good with it because these are just fan books that we made. So the books are $5 to the Hero Initiative, and we're going to wrap up that fundraiser on July 5th. So 4th of July weekend is going to be the final weekend before we wrap this up. So I'll send you links, but they're amazing books. I've already read them over multiple times because they're just fun. And there's over 300 pages of material that that was all put together in a year. I mean, that was a year of a lot of creators working together and making this gigantic book with tons of fun stories and cameos by all these different characters. The Max was a real popular character that a lot of people touched on. Blood Wolf has some nice contributions. All the founders are there. It was really a fun book, and the art is so amazing, and the variety of styles to flip and get, you know, one thing that's like literally painted for a few pages, and the next thing is digital art, and the next thing is scrapping. There was just, it's such an endeavor of creativity and love for that era of comics.
There's one called Attaboy.
Oh, that's, there are also ads for, you know, the creators, a lot of the people involved have their own books. So Attaboy, for instance, is Tony McMillan. Sorry, there's a lot of creators. But Tony McMillan worked on this fantastic Sam and Twitch and Pit and Spawn and Max story. And he has this incredible 8 pages and his art's gorgeous. But he also has he has several books of his own, including Attaboy. That's a great book that he is doing where it's a comic book, but it's disguised as a video game manual, like the manual of how to play the game. But that's really the story. That's just one of the contributors to Image Grand Disaster.
Well, I got a kick out of the Guano Guy page.
Oh, right, because that's another one of the ads. Like Guano Guy's not in the book, but I had my story was how the Viltrumites. It was a spoof on Mars Attacks. Instead, it was the Viltrumites attack, and they wiped out the Extreme Universe. Most of them anyway. And then after my story, I had a bit for the Guano Guy.
Well, there's a funny bit in there that I just made me laugh out loud too. It's a Roland Man says it's like Cartoon Network on paper.
Yeah.
And then Guano Guy responds, call me Cartoon Network.
I can so see this as a cartoon on on Cartoon Network. So
I got to keep plugging away and try and get enough notoriety and noticeability that maybe, just maybe, we can make that happen. Because there's, you know, there's room on that network for another fun. You know, the Tick was a great cartoon. Mm-hmm. Venture Brothers had a great run. Why not Guano Guy?
Yeah, well, you know, they could do worse, and they have done worse at times and stuff. So that's it's just such a wonderful bit. So let's wrap up by saying, of course, the Kickstarter again is going to go on until Saturday, June 26th at 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And of course, at this moment, you are past your $1,500 goal.
Yeah.
By the time this posts, let's hope you're way past that.
Yeah.
And getting all kinds of good stuff going on. So Guano Guy 4, and plus all 7 other Guano Guy comics are in people's hands and get to have lots of good fun. So
yeah,
all I can say is, Mark, keep having fun, because that's obviously what you're doing with these good books. It's tremendous fun.
Oh, absolutely, Wayne. Yeah, I just hope to keep bringing fun and entertainment and joy to comics and comic readers. So I'll keep plugging away at that.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next episode when I'll have another terrific conversation with another wonderful comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.